I have this theory that everything you need to know about life is in The Sound of Music. So if you have any questions about anything, kids, just watch The Sound of Music, and somewhere in there, it'll answer your question. So if that's true, and I thought that it was my idea, I actually looked on the internet, and I found that in 2015, a man named Norman Allen, who was a playwright, wrote this little article called The Theology of the Sound of Music. If I'm right, then in our gospel, there should be some message that's also in The Sound of Music. So let me think about the gospel that we hear today. If you had read any of the last weekday gospels for the last few weeks, you would have seen Jesus predicting nothing but fire and brimstone for these Pharisees, these scribes, these people that he says are clean their cups on the outside, but they're full of yuck and dirt on the inside. And even today, he talks about that they're hypocrites. And so what they did was, after hearing all these bad things that Jesus was saying about them, they want to trap him. So they finally, not only the Pharisees, but some group of men called the Herodians. Now, back in Jesus' time, Rome was occupying Israel, and the Jewish people did not like it, but the Roman people allowed them to do, to sort of practice their Jewish faith. But they made sort of a potentate in charge of the Jewish people, sort of that mediator, and that was Herod. So the Jewish people that wanted to say, look, let's go with Herod, let's be nice to the Romans, let's just do what they want, were called the Herodians. They were sort of in charge of that. So they were like Rome's connection with the Jewish people. But then the Pharisees and the scribes said, no, we should have nothing to do with them. Our faith is nothing to do with the Romans. In fact, they're persecuting us. And the Jewish faith was such that they did not want any graven images to be made. So Jewish people actually they couldn't carry those Roman coins. They had to carry them special, or someone else had to carry them for them, because they couldn't have on their person a graven image of something else. Actually, when they went to the temple, they had to exchange those coins for Jewish coins. That's why Jesus went and upset the money changers' cart. So the Jewish people, there was a division. There were some people that sort of felt like the Romans should be there, and some people that are not. So they said, let's set Jesus up. Let's set him up. Let's give him a question that no matter what he answers, he's in trouble. We call that the no-win scenario. And so Jesus gets asked, Jesus, we know you're a great teacher of the faith and everything else. Should we pay taxes to Caesar, or should we not? If he answers yes, then the Jewish people say, well, you're not a Jewish leader because you don't practice the Jewish faith. You're saying this is what we should do. If he says no, he'll be in trouble with the Roman authorities. All right? So that's the no-win scenario. In The Sound of Music, Captain Von Trapp has the same thing. He comes back from his honeymoon, if you remember, pulls down that Nazi flag, only to find out that he's been recommissioned into the Nazi Navy, as he was a naval officer before. And he's only got a couple of days to report, if you remember. But he cannot report. He will not do it. But he knows if he doesn't do it, he'll be arrested, and his family probably arrested as well. So what do Jesus and Captain Von Trapp do? They change the rules. They change the rules. They don't accept the no-win scenario. Jesus doesn't answer yes or no. He answers it with a question. What image do you see on that coin? And Captain Von Trapp takes his family, and as you remember, they go and they hide out in the convent, and then they run away, and they, through a daring escape, get out of Austria forever, not to come there. So Jesus, when he says to them, he says, what image do you see? He's not talking about the coin. And the people around him were probably thinking, what image do you see? He's talking about the people that asked him that question, the Pharisees and the Herodians, the one that he just complained about, that they're all nice on the outside, but they're terrible on the inside. They're hypocrites. So Jesus asked them, what image do you see when you go look in the mirror? One of God or one of Caesar? Jesus was saying to us that it's not either God or the world, but God in the world. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. It's God in the world. And our image of who we project, our inside has to match our outside. So that if we say we're followers of Christ, we better be followers of Christ in our life. And there's no more evidence of that in my mind than when you're in a no-win scenario. And I could think very quickly of the circumstances that I've been in many no-win scenarios. I'll give you a couple of them. I'm in the seminary. I don't remember if it was my third year or fourth year or whatever. I get a call from my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter. They said, Dad. I said, what? They said, today we're going to recite the Shahada. Does anybody know what the Shahada is? The Shahada is a claim that after you make it, you become Muslim. Say, there's only one God and his prophet is Muhammad. You make that claim. Sort of like it's almost like an Islam baptism. They were becoming Muslim. But a year later, maybe not even that, my middle daughter calls me up and says, Dad, I'm getting married. I'm getting married at Frame Park out in Waukesha. Our minister is going to be someone I found on the internet. Would you come and walk me down the aisle? Thanks, Michelle. And here I am sitting in the seminary, going to be a priest, a Catholic priest. What am I supposed to do for both of those circumstances? It reminded me, and you know how the Holy Spirit works in your life. I was reminded of this story I was reading. Maybe I was in the scripture at the time, in 2 Kings, Old Testament story. It was a story about Naaman. Naaman was the chief army officer of a foreign king, famous foreign king. And he was very well respected in that land, and he was loved. The problem was Naaman was also a leper. He had leprosy. And so that king said, you know, there's a great prophet in Israel, and if you go see that prophet, maybe he'll cure you of your leprosy. So Naaman went to Israel, and he met the prophet Elisha. And he sees the prophet Elisha, and sure enough, Elisha cures him of his leprosy. So Naaman says to Elisha, Elisha, I now know that your God is the one true God, and I will worship him forever. But before I go, I want to ask you this question because I'm not sure what I should do. When I go back home, the king is going to ask me to worship with his gods. And in fact, I have to stand next to him. And in fact, what he does when we're worshiping his God, he leans on my arm so that I have to kneel down with him. Should I do it? I don't believe in that anymore. Elisha says to him, go in peace, and God will be with you. He's saying the same thing that Jesus is saying today. If you have Christ as your true image inside and out, then any decision you make will be made with Christ, and God will be with you. You don't have to make decisions based on anything else than is Jesus in my heart and is Christ with me. So what did I do? I told my two daughters, congratulations, I love you. And what did I do with Michelle? I walked her down the aisle because I'm her father. If you have God in you and you're in a no-win scenario, do what you think is right after you discern it and go in peace and God will be with you. That's, I think, the message that Jesus is giving us about images in our lives. He wants our inside to match our outside. And the worst thing that Jesus hated was hypocrites. He hated people that professed the Catholic faith and then did all these other things that they wanted on the side anyway. If you're going to do what you're going to do, do it with God with you and let the image of Christ be with you. Maybe you've had your own no-win scenario with a loved one that's no longer in the church. Don't condemn them. Walk with them. Be with them. Be Christ to them so that every time They see you, they see Christ. And don't let them see a hypocrite from what they do. Now, if you think it's easy to keep Christ as your image and not switch over to Caesar, let me remind you about an old joke, because old jokes have some truth in them. There was this man who came to the parish office and knocked on the door, and the priest answers the door. He goes, "Yes, son?" He goes, "Father, can I come and talk to you?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Father, I want to tell you my dog died, and I really love that dog. And so I'm asking you, will you have a funeral for my dog in church?" And the priest says, "You know, son, I can see that this is really bothering you, but we can't have a funeral for your dog. We only have funerals for human beings. We can't have a funeral for your dog." And the man says, "I know, I understand." And the priest saw that he was upset about this, and he says, "You know, I can see you're really upset, so I'll tell you what. We can't have a funeral for you, but why don't you go about a mile down is the Baptist church, and if you talk to them, I know the priest or the reverend there, and maybe he'll have a funeral for your dog." And so the man was really grateful. He said, "Great, oh, Father, thank you very much." He said, "One more question, Father. By the way, I was thinking I love my dog so much that whoever had the funeral, I'd give him $10,000. And the priest says, "Son, wait. Come on back." He goes, "What, Father?" He goes, "Well, sit down again. You never told me your dog was Catholic." How quick we switch over from being Christ's image to being the image of Caesar. So think about what image you project as you go in the mirror, and think to make sure that your insides match your outsides.